Hello and welcome to the Torah's Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we will be studying Tehillim Perek Peches 88. Our last Perek, 87, was a very upbeat Perek with descriptions of the splendor of Yerushalayim, a look towards what was and what will be in the future. This Perek takes an about-face and is a very sad song. It begins with the tones of being despondent and seems to end with a sense of yeyush, of despondency as well. The Meshorer sings about illness, isolation, being on the brink of death and pain. Anyone who has watched someone, lo aleinu, go through terrible illness, fatal illness, these words will hit a chord. The Meshorer calls out a primal cry that seems to be devoid of any optimism. It is a song of physical illness. However, according to many of the commentaries, this can be read metaphorically as well. The ailing body is a metaphor for the ailing soul who is distant from its source, so distant that it is writhing in agony. It's a song about the agony of Golus. Pasuk Aleph, Shir Mizmar Levnei Korach, Lamanatseach Al Machalos La'anos, Maskil Leheiman Ha'ezrachi. This first pasuk, this introduction, has a lot of ambiguity, but a lot to it. A song with music sung by the Bnei Korach and the conductor on the Machalas, a musical instrument, La'anos, indicating a song that is to be sung with great emotion in a loud voice. Maskil, a song that would facilitate thought that was written or composed by Haman the Ezrachi. First of all, who is Haman? Not to be confused, God forbid, with Haman. Haman, according to Rashi and Radak, they point out that this may be Haman from Shevet Yehuda, from the family of Zerach, hence the name Ezrachi, the description Ezrachi. He was known to be a great chacham, a wise man. His lineage is presented to us in Divri Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav. And his name is mentioned again in Melachim Aleph, Perek He, as a comparison to Shlomo HaMelech, that Shlomo was even wiser than those who were known to be chachamim, one of whom was Haman. Another suggestion is that he may have been a prominent Levi from the family of Korach, which makes sense since this mizmor was sung by the Bnei Korach. His name and lineage appears in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Vav, and he's listed there as the grandson of Shmuel Hanavi. Haman is mentioned as one of the composers, authors of Tehillim, one of the 10 authors of Tehillim in Maseches Bava Basra. So he is mentioned in this list of 10 contributors to Sefer Tehillim. The Machalas that is mentioned here seems to be a musical instrument. But the word coming from the Shoresh Ches Lamed Hey, Chola, may imply sickness, which is the subject matter of this Perek. It's an intense song that stirs the listener to La'anos, to answer, to respond. To respond about inoy, affliction, also from the same shoresh as la'anos. And la'anos, they respond and feel themselves in inoy. It's affliction as well because of the raw emotions that this song facilitates. We see the interplay of this word la'anos, affliction, illness, responding. This is really the beauty of the Hebrew language. This is a sad song that facilitates a raw emotional response due to the suffering. One can only imagine the haunting tunes and sounds of the instruments and the singers that were associated with this song in the Beis HaMikdash. As we said, this parak can be interpreted at face value about illness or on an allegorical level about the spiritual ailments of Klal Yisrael who are in Golus, the body being the body of Klal Yisrael who feels like it is about to succumb to the pain of Golus. Hard to imagine this today, I know, since Baruch Hashem, we are living in relative comfort. But as we have discussed, take your minds to past horrors of the Holocaust, the Inquisition, pogroms, or perhaps, I hope it doesn't apply, but anybody, lo aleinu, who may be experiencing terrible suffering. Although we see this to be a very depressing perek, Rav Hirsch sees a consolation, subtle message in the introduction to this mizmor. The word lamenatzeach, which we have been translating as conductor, can also refer to the one who is menatzeach, victorious, namely Hashem. Quote, says Rav Hirsch, this psalm is specifically dedicated to God who can help us win spiritual victory over pain, which without such help from above would utterly crush us. Unquote. We move to Pasuk Beis to Hashem Elokei Yeshua Si, Yom Tza'akti Balayla Negdecha, Hashem God of my salvation, I cried out during the day and at night before you. Here Rav Hirsch sees a subtle point of optimism as well, and perhaps more accurately, the unbreakable spirit of the Jew. Yom Tza'akti, the days that are filled with the miseries of my present state, says Rav Hirsch, such as dealing with opposition, coping with feeding my family. But points out Rav Hirsch, as soon as the day ended, he can come home to what is familiar and comforting, to his houses of study and prayer. A practical thought, since many may leave their homes during the day, away from what is familiar to them, away from community, to earn a livelihood. But at night, they return to their shuls, their families, and their bate medrash, an integral anchor for so many. Now let's move back to the theme of our perek. The Meshorer had said, I cry out to God for salvation during the day and at night, and therefore, Pasuk 3, Gimel, Tavo lefanecha tfilasi, hateyaz nacha lerinasi, let my prayers come before you, and please Hashem, turn your ear to my song. Rina here referring to prayer, a prayer that is full of emotion, hence the term Rina, singing. Much of our organized prayer today indeed consists of Rina in the form of Tehillim that encompass much of our Seder Tefillah. The next few psukim seems to be a stream of consciousness about the agony of his suffering. So he had said, Tavo lefanecha tefilasi. Why am I begging you, Hashem, to answer my prayers? Because I have gone through so much suffering. Pasuk dalid, ki savabra os nafshi v'chai lish'ol higiyo. My soul is sated with evil and my life has reached to the depths, practically to my grave. Pasuk 5, hey, nechshavti im yardei bar, hayisi kegever ein ayal. And when I reached the depths, I was like those who have gone down to the pit. I was a man without strength. I am so desperate, either because of my physical pain of my illness, or my emotional or spiritual pain. I don't have the strength to continue against the illness, against the enemies. I feel like I want to end it all. Pasuk 6, vav, Bamesim chafshi kamo chalalim shochvei kever asher lo zechartam od. When I find myself in that pit or in the grave, I feel like those corpses, and I feel free. He's saying, I feel like I'm already dead, like the corpses in that pit, the corpses that to me seem free from suffering. Vehema miyatcha nigzaru. They are there because you cut them off with your hand. If this is the collective neshama of Am Yisrael crying out in Golos, then the implication is that he would rather be among the dead than be subservient to the evil people of this Golos. Very dark indeed, but we certainly can imagine these thoughts in the minds of the desperate concentration camp victims, in the mouths of those walking corpses who were made to bear witness of the horrors of the evil that befell the Jewish nation during the Holocaust. The idea that being in exile to the Meshorer is equivalent to death is an incredible thought. Psukim 7, 8, and 9, Zion, Ches, and Tes continue to describe the state of dread and despondency, and there are further descriptions of his feelings of isolation. He's being drowned, he's being crushed by waves. He too is in a pit, in a dark place, and completely isolated from everyone and everything familiar. Pasuk Zion 7, Shatani Bevor Tachtios B'machashakim B'mtzolos, Hashem, you have put me in a pit, in the darkest of places. It sounds as if he is being buried alive. Interesting that there's another reference to a pit being buried alive, being in the darkest of places. This is sung by B'nai Korach, whose father was swallowed up in a pit. Psukim 8 and 9, Ches and Tes, follow along the same lines. But with that suffering, he is able to summon up what seems to be his very last breath, the imagery of being suffocated. He's suffocating. He's being buried alive. But as he's being buried alive, he manages to summon up the strength to call out again to Hashem. Pasuk Yud, Eini da'ava mini oni, k'rasicha Hashem b'chol yom. Shitachti elecha kapai, my eyes are grieving for my affliction, which I know comes from you. But I still cry out to you, Hashem, every day. I stretch my palm to you in supplication. If we look closely, we don't see any specific requests being made, just a general plea to stop his suffering, just a primal cry to God. We don't see save me from my enemies. We don't see bring me home safely, save me from my illness, bring me to my family. We just see descriptions of pain and isolation and crying out, just calling Hashem's name. If we think back to Klal Yisrael in Golas Mitzrayim, the pain and suffering was so intense that they cry out. And in Mitzrayim, they didn't even necessarily cry out to Hashem because they were not even familiar with Hashem. The pasuk simply says, "Vayhi bayamim harabim haheim vayamas melech Mitzrayim vayeanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayizaku." They were consumed with work, they were despondent, and they cried out. Doesn't say they cried out to God, just vayizaku. Vatal shavasam el elokim. The cries reached Hashem even though they weren't directed to him. But Meshorer knows God. He doesn't ask for anything specific. He just krechts, he wails and calls out Hashem's name. Think of a child who isn't feeling well. He just cries out, Ima, Abba, and he may not even be able to articulate what he wants. He calls out to his parents instinctively because he knows that they may be able to make it all better. The Meshorer is crying out with no specific request. He's just stating, he's just crying out his pain, and he cries out to his Father in heaven. Eini da'ava mini oni, k'rasicha Hashem b'chol yom. And he seems to make a case for his prayers, a case for why God should stop his suffering, either the suffering from his illness or the spiritual suffering of the soul of Am Yisrael in Golus. Why should the pain end? Because, as we will see, the pain of Golus brings distance between man and God. Three psukim that ask rhetorical questions of God, namely, can the dead praise you? Can they pray to you? Can the dead publicize your wonders? If I am dead, what good will I do? To get a flow of the psukim, I will read these three psukim without translating them, but just listen to the poetry, listen to the rhythm. Halamesim ta'asapela, imrifa'im yakumu yodu chasela, hayusupar ba'kever chastecha emunascha ba'avdon, hayivada ba'choshech pil'echa v'tzidkascha be'eretz nishiya. Can the dead praise you? What good can I do as a person that is no more living, if I want to praise you? Similar to what we say in Hallel, Lo hamesim yahaleluka, the dead cannot praise you. Even though he speaks of death, he's near death, he may even flirt with the notion of taking his own life, we see that he indeed wants to live. As for me, I may be near death, but I have a will to live. I want to be healed of my physical suffering. I want to be extricated from my spiritual suffering. How do we know? The dead cannot praise you, but as for me, he says in Pasuk Yudalid, Va'ani elecha Hashem shivati, uva boker tfilasi tikadmeka. As for me, to you, Hashem, I cry out, and my prayers greet you in the morning. We know there is such a strong desire for life, even at a person's last moments. A person fights for survival. If I am crying out to you, why do I feel your presence at all? I'm literally in the dark, he says in Pasuk Tesvav 15. Lama Hashem tiznach nafshi, tastir panecha mimeni. Why have you forsaken my soul? You have hidden your face from me. He feels the state of hester panim. We reference this pasuk in one of our prakim, in Eicha, Lama tiznach lanetzach. Hashem's face is hidden. This is the state that Hashem describes in the Tochacha, the isolation, the fear, and abandonment. Va'anochi haster astir panai bayom hahu al kol hara asher asa, ki pana el Elohim acherim, as it says in Parshas Vayelech. Hashem says, I will hide my face from you if you abandon me. The last three psukim of the parak are more descriptions of the pain and isolation he feels. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, he feels Hashem's anger towards him. In Pasuk Yud Ches, the anger swirls around him. He feels like he's drowning in sorrow and pain. And the last pasuk, unfortunately, does not end on a high note or a note of optimism, just the cries of a very ill and pained person who is in isolation. Hirchakta mimeni ohev vareya miyuda'ai machshach. You have distanced my friends and loved ones from me. All All that know me are in the dark. They are concealed from me. The sad song ends with perhaps the most painful aspect of all, and that is isolation. Lo to heyosa adam levado. Think prisoners who were incarcerated in communist Russia. Think, lo aleinu, Israeli captives who were taken by Hamas. Think of prisoners in concentration camps. And, says the Malbim and other commentaries, think of the neshama that really is not living to its full potential and is feeling isolated. Hard to really understand this. Imagine that someone wrote this song about the pain of the neshama that is distanced from God in a state of gullus, the pain that we should feel as we are not living in optimal times. Difficult to really relate to, perhaps, but something to think about nonetheless. Although this perek is a dark one, a real contrast to what we saw in the last perek, where Jerusalem was befriended by all of the nations, Klal Yisrael were on a high, this perek ends on a low and melancholy note. It is the end of one chapter. There have been many ends to many sad chapters of our collective history, but it is only one chapter, a chapter that we should not be afraid to articulate, a chapter of mourning, of sadness. Acknowledging the emotions, facing the emotions like the Meshorer does, is part of the process of extricating ourselves from the difficult times in our lives and in our history, understanding that it is only one chapter among many. This is indeed not the final chapter. Thank you for studying together with the OU Women's Initiative, Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.